Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Every relationship in your life is making something easier. Every relationship makes something easier. Now, whether that thing that's being made easier is good for you, that's another story. So Jesus here in Matthew chapter 11 is saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." You're having a struggle. This thing is hard for you. He says, "I will give you rest. Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Let's just read that part out loud. Ready? Read. "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." So what's he saying? He's saying, enter into a relationship with me. Because what was a struggle for you by yourself, you'll be able to rest in that thing that was a struggle when you come unto me. Hallelujah. Jesus is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we're going to talk about biblical friendship. We're going to talk about what it means to be a true friend, what it means to be called the friend of God, what it means when the Bible says that Jesus is a friend of sinners. We're going to look at what it means to say, "I have a friend," and that you are my friend. I know for Chrissy and I, as parents, watching our babies grow up, and it's happening so fast, you know, to see just that Lana's going into middle school and now James is going into high school, just to think about how fast these babies are growing up. Parents, you relate. It's just almost unreal. How could this happen so fast? But if there's anything that we've come to appreciate, it is the relationships that they develop that we see bring out their strengths, that we're able to look at and say, you know what? We're watching their walk with the Lord develop and grow by that relationship. And if you're a parent, you know, you've seen your children pair up with the wrong group and have the wrong friends, and the little signal went off, and you're like, I got to pray on this one right here because I know my child's weaknesses, I know their vulnerabilities, and I feel like that relationship right there might expose that and might be damaging to God's plan in their life. So parents, I know you can relate when you think about the friendships that come into our life. We were visiting with the Eulers recently, and here they come up from Tampa to head up our school, and we didn't see all that God had planned and how knit their three boys would become with our kids, and how they testify their boys are stronger in their walk with the Lord because of their friendship with our children. And we're saying the same thing about our kids. And as parents, you rejoice when you see that your children are in the yoke with other friends that are enhancing their faith walk and enhancing their time in God's word and their praise to God. You know, that you're not next to a friend that you're afraid to put your hands in the air and magnify Jesus next to, but you got a friend, you hang out, you crack jokes, you do things together, but at the same time, you both throw your hands in worship together. And that's a beautiful friendship. Well, imagine now how much more our Heavenly Father is viewing our relationships and the fruit of those relationships. And do the friends in our life, are they increasing? Are they aiding our walk with the Lord? Are these relationships strengthening our faith, strengthening our walk in truth? Because that's the kind of friends God's called us to have. It's the kind of friend that Jesus is. Come on, somebody. Getting into the yoke with Jesus has brought things into my life that I could have never done had he not been my friend and given me a strength to do some things that I never knew I had the ability to do. Can you say amen? Some of you are walking a walk right now with the Lord that you could not have walked without him. You are loving folk you used to not love. You are speaking things you used to couldn't imagine yourself speak. You are doing things that in your past you could have never foreseen yourself do, but being in the yoke of Jesus is making this faith thing easy. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor. So you're putting forth effort. You're heavy laden. You're bogged down. You're burdened down. And he said, and I will give you rest. Now, notice where this rest comes from. Because there's a difference between you going to the Lord in prayer and giving him a burden that you know you're going to take back within 30 minutes. And you just gave it to the Lord in prayer for the sake of being able to say, yes, I've prayed about this. Now stay with me here for a minute. When we go to the Lord and we give him our burden and we share our heart and we share our burden to the Lord, that's one thing. But when you come to Jesus and you say, Lord, I'm not just giving you this thing that's heavy for me, this one thing in my life that I think that only you can deal with, but Lord, I'll take care of the rest. But Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm entering the yoke with you. I want a relationship with you. See, notice what he says in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you. Read that out loud. Take my yoke upon you. He's saying, you got to get in the yoke with me. If you want a relationship with me to make things easy, if you want to see the benefit that I can bring into your life, you've got to get in the yoke with me. This is a covenant. The word yoke is symbolic of a covenant. This is referring to a friendship, a covenant relationship. Covenant relationships are partnerships. You know, I don't know how many people in this society really understand what a covenant is, but a covenant is a promise or a commitment that is made between two parties. And most covenants are designed for strengths and weaknesses. So I'll give you a scenario. Let's say you've got a family called the Williams family. And the Williams family are excellent farmers. Man, they can grow some stuff, some legal stuff, good stuff. Tomatoes and cucumbers, and turnip greens, squash and okra, corn. You understand? Got to make sure this family gets the right reputation up in here. So that's the Williams family. Problem is they live in a culture where there are enemies that break into their fields and steal their crops. Now, the Williams are good farmers, but they can't fight. No, they can't fight. They get whipped all the time. And so they know this family up the road called the Bird family. Now, the Birds, man, they can't grow nothing, but they can fight. But it's hard to fight when you're hungry. So the Williams family and the Bird family come together. And they say, and the Williams say, you know what, Bird family, we're going to do is we're going to provide you food to eat, and you're going to protect our crops. And the Bird said, oh, shoot, we love to fight. I dare somebody come on this property. And they said, well, we're going to keep you fed if you'll keep the burglars off our land. And so they come together, and in certain cultures and in certain cases biblically in the Old Testament, you see this. You would have a representative from each family come forward, and they would make a covenant. And those two representatives would verbally discuss the terms of that covenant, what they're agreeing to do. It'd all be laid out, and they would cut a covenant. And in some cases, the names would even change, where they would be called the Williams Bird family. So now they actually become one. They're no longer the Williams family. They're no longer the Bird family. They're the Williams Bird family. And they're operating as one because they've entered into a covenant that was based on strengths and weaknesses. Now, you have to recognize that when Jesus came, he came to establish a covenant. Before he went to the cross in Matthew 26, he lifted up that cup to his disciples and he said, drink of this cup. It is symbolic of my blood of the new covenant. Jesus on that cross entered into a covenant that you and I are able to enter into by faith. He entered this covenant with you and me. And that covenant satisfies our weaknesses with his strength. There is a holy exchange that takes place in this covenant. Now, biblically, when you read the word yoke, it's talking about a covenant. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, for us not to be unequally yoked together. 2 Corinthians 6 says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14. It means don't enter into a marriage. Don't enter into a covenant friendship with someone that is not a believer, because then you're unequally yoked, okay? It's not a true partnership. So when Jesus says here in verse 29, take my yoke upon you, you're saying now that, Lord, I am entering the yoke with you. Now, a yoke would be used to take two oxen and make them operate as one. And so Deuteronomy, I think it's 21, teaches that anytime you put an animal in a yoke, it's got to be an equal yoke. In other words, you can't yoke an ox with a donkey because the donkey's stubborn, the donkey's slow, the donkey's not as strong, so the ox would end up dragging that donkey if he was in a covenant with him, all right? And there are a lot of people that understand that kind of relationship because the one's always a drag. But God's called us to be in relationships where I'm not having to drag you to church, drag you into prayer, drag you into the word, drag you into faith, drag you into blessing. No, we're equally yoked, so we're entering this thing together. And you don't want to be drug into sin, drug into the world. Come on, somebody. So those relationships are strengthening either your walk with God or your walk in the world. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. He's saying, enter the yoke with me. So we have to imagine this life of, okay, Lord, I'm entering the yoke with you. And when I enter the yoke with you, notice who it is that is doing the conforming. Watch verse number 29 here. Read it with me and read it slow up to that semicolon, okay? Ready? Read. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, let me stop right there. Time out. When you would take an ox, for an example, and put that ox in the yoke with another ox, you would, if you had a young ox, an immature ox, that you wanted to develop, to learn the path to take with the wagon, to learn how to plow a straight row, then you would put that young ox with a mature, stronger, disciplined ox, so that mature, strong, disciplined ox is training this young, immature ox that has the physical strength, has the endurance, has the ability, but hasn't been trained, hasn't adapted yet to the ways of the land. Now, when Jesus was called and is the friend of sinners, this is so important that you get this, because there are people that want to live in the world, live in sin, do what they want to do, and then say, well, you can't judge me. Jesus is the friend of sinners. But wait a minute here. Who is in whose yoke? Who is the stronger, wise ox, and who is the young, immature ox? Because I'm here to tell you, you don't get in the yoke with Jesus and teach him how to go to the club. You don't get in the yoke with Jesus and teach him how to cuss folk. You don't get in the yoke with Jesus and teach him how to sin. Come on now, somebody say amen to that. No, Jesus didn't say, let me take your yoke upon me and learn of you. I didn't need to teach Jesus my ways. Come on, somebody. Is anybody in here? You didn't need to teach Jesus your ways. Not that you could. You get what I'm saying. He says, read it with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's saying, you learn of me. You do this like I do it. You go the path that I go. You take the walk that I walk. You say the words that I say. You think the thoughts that I think. You get in the yoke with me. I know you think you can't think like that. I know you think you can't talk like that. I know you think you can't live like that. But that's because you tried to do that without being in the yoke with me. But once you get in the yoke with me, what was impossible to man is possible with God. That's what he's saying here. See, that's why you can visit an assembly, you can visit a congregation, a church, as a spectator, and kind of eavesdrop in and listen, you know, and contemplate whether or not you really want to give your life to the Lord. And you can be like David's wife, who observed his worship through a window, and be critical of what you saw through that window. But kingdom living is not for spectators, it's for participators. And as long as you look in observation and say, man, I could never live like that. I could never love like that. I could never leave my ways and walk with the Lord like that. It's because you're judging a life outside the yoke. When you enter the yoke with Jesus, you find what looked impossible before him becomes totally different in him. You've heard my own testimony. The day I accepted Christ at that little missionary Baptist church and went down to that altar and prayed and accepted the Lord, my family, we all went out to Ryan's Steakhouse and we were eating rolls and honey butter. And I went ahead and set the record so that nobody would be offended and they wouldn't put any crazy expectations on me. I told everybody in my family, about 11 of us at the table. I said, look, I'm saved, I believe in Jesus, I'm going to get baptized, and I'll be at church every Sunday morning if I can make it. But I won't be back at that BTU thing they was talking about, and I won't be in no evening service. I got things to do. I'm sure not going to be there on a Wednesday night. I got to work the next morning, and I'm not coming to Sunday school because that's just too much. They're going overboard. So I'll be there on Sunday morning. That's it. See, that's me just saved. But I just got in the yoke. You see what I'm saying? Once I got in the yoke, I found myself preaching. I found myself sharing the word. I found myself saying things like, did I just say that? Did that just come out of me? Did I just say no to that? What has happened to me? I got in the yoke with Jesus. I was back at BTU that night. I was in the evening service. I finally figured out the hymn book. Come on, somebody. Let me, I got to move on. Is there anybody here living a life now that you could not have imagined you would live before you accepted Jesus Christ? Amen. So see, when you enter the yoke with Jesus, now what you could not have done without him, you're able to do with him. And if you know it, say it with me, because every relationship is making something easier in your life. Come on, somebody. And so when you walk with Jesus, love is easy. Faith is easy. Truth is easy. Righteousness is easy because I'm in the yoke with the one that literally wrote the book. I'm in the yoke with the one whose name is love. I'm in the yoke with the all-wise, all-knowing, infinite God. How can I not do things I could have never done without him once I get in the yoke with him? Hallelujah. What it comes down to is there are individuals that don't want that life, therefore they don't enter that yoke. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. That means I'm conforming to him. I'm being transformed to his ways. This relationship is not about, oh, I'm saved, now I live in sin. No, it's now I'm saved, I'm in the yoke, and I'm living and being led in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even the paths of righteousness that you see me on, they are not for my name's sake, because my name did not have the power. My name did not have the ability. My name did not have the conviction to walk in the paths of righteousness. I'm walking in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. My life is a testament of his power, his grace, his love, his wisdom, his ability to take an old messed up person like me and reshape me and redefine me and fill me with his spirit and teach me his word and bring things out of me that I didn't know were possible. Glory to God. You get any help with Jesus, you look back, man, and that row is straight and that wagon is full, but you're pulling it on forward and you're thinking, Lord, how am I achieving all this? I don't even feel like I'm bearing any weight. That's what he's saying here. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is and my burden is. See, if living by the word for you is hard, and if bearing the call of God in your life is heavy, you might not be in the yoke. Come on, somebody. See, you might look at somebody, I don't know how y'all do all that. Well, you have to be in the yoke to understand. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 6. Meekness is power under control. Amen. One of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance. That's self-control. Meek individuals are powerful people because they have themselves under control. Don't ever mistake meekness for weakness. Have you ever seen a massive levee or dam that's used to produce electricity for major cities, and they hold back these massive rivers, the Hoover Dam? Think about the massive size of the Hoover Dam. It's taking all that water, and it's controlling it and then using it to generate power. You got to see meekness that way. Come on, somebody. See, just because I don't say a lot, you can say, just because I don't say a lot don't mean I don't have a lot. Because the Bible says a fool will utter everything he knows or everything he thinks. And you can't always utter everything you think. You know what it took me to learn? You can't say everything you think? Marriage. You can't say everything you think. You got to keep some of that tempered. Pray on it. Meditate on it. Some of that won't ever come out once you think about it. Some of it will, but it'll come out differently. My powerful and pleasant. Amen. So meekness, as we talked about last week, is not just, you know, how we speak and how we deliver, but it is also how we receive. And so I want to deal more with that, because Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek. So he's saying that we can receive of him because his method is meekness. Hallelujah. And that's so important in any relationship. See, we should model every relationship in our life after the one we have with Jesus. So Jesus said, learn of me, for I'm meek. But he's also saying, when you're in the yoke with me, things are going to be easier. So we've got to learn how to take the same principles that Jesus gives us in a relationship with him and then apply those same principles in our friendships. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, watch this. He says in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Doesn't mean you're not cordial, doesn't mean you're not nice. Just means I can't be in the yoke with you. All right, watch this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship? That word fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia. Hallelujah. I love saying that word. It sounds good. Koinonia. Koinonia is a word that represents partnership. You have a part, I have a part. You give, I receive. I give, you receive. Koinonia. All right. So he says here, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? They don't mingle. What communion? The root there is the word commune, where we get the word communicate. Communication is an exchange. True communication is the exchange of information. If you say something and I didn't hear it, then we're not communicating. And you say stuff to folk that they don't receive, and that's not communication. So we have to learn how to speak, because communication is an exchange. He says, what communion hath light with darkness? Verse 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, or because of this, come out from among them, and be ye what, church? Separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's all self-explanatory. So, as you listen, you know, and meditate on what we're discussing here, take inventory of the relationships in your life. And what are they making easier?
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.